Hey guys, popping in with a reminder to sign up for the GovHub newsletter. This weekly pop of politics is designed to share action items, resources, and quick links to civic engagement tools and topics directly to your inbox. Save it, share it, and sign up for a pinch of productive politics today by going to girlonthegov.com or visiting this episode's description.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Welcome back to Girl on the Gov, the podcast,
where we're shooting the shit with elected officials and candidates running for office to get to know the person beyond the politics.
Because politicians needed a rebrand. We have a serial smoker on our hands today.
You hot man.
Yeah. The voice is gone. The voice is shot. But here she is podcasting for you all.
Here I am. Look, the sacrifices that I make for the pod, I love you guys. I wouldn't let you down. So I am here, voiceless. Honestly, it is better though. Like yesterday, it was in the phase where it was cutting out when I was speaking, which honestly is funny to me. Like I get a laugh out of it, but I know it's not particularly effective for podcasting. So thank God the podcasting gods like gave us a little bit of this, a little bit of that,
yeah,
and brought us here.
You know, it was a good weekend and a good bender when you come back and your voice is completely shot. So I'm happy for you in that regard. I will also say that it's kind of perfect timing, given that I think everyone should be watching on YouTube today because we're wearing our new merch. I'm like trying to show.
It's so cute.
I'm also not wearing a bra. So like,
I don't think I've worn a bra since like 1965. Not that I was alive then, but I'm just saying if I were.
You guys are so cute. And the colors that we talked about last week, they turned out great. We were unsure what was going to happen, but we wanted to order these prior to putting them out into the ether for all of you to buy, because we just wanted to check quality, color, cut, and we're happy, we're impressed, and we think you all should get these adorable sweatshirts.
They're so cute, but true. That was one of the things we were concerned about, quality, of course, and I have to say, like, it's like a comfort color is like the base of the sweatshirt, so it's like your classic, like, quality sweatshirt. It's so cozy. I'm not taking this off. I'm actually going to, like, order all the other colors tonight. Taste the fucking rainbow, you know? Like, don't leave one, like, sitting on the shelves. So we'll put the link to order in our description. It'll end up on stories, all the things and, like, whatnot. But they're so cute, you guys. If you've seen the Gov Club stickers that we rolled out earlier this spring for the Gov Clubbers and Housewives, DM us if you want one. We might send you one. So they're similar in the design.
I have a question.
Like, yeah.
Samantha designed this, which, God, bravo.
I can just tell we're rolling for it.
Who is she? Because this is like a legit design. Was this like a Canva?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So they had a little capital graphic.
Yeah. And then I like overlaid the dates and things like that. And I put on there 2021.
Artiste. Miss Artiste, you guys.
I brought it to a new level.
Get you one of these.
I'll be taking baths. I'll be taking tips. I'm sweating in the sweatshirt now, by the way, because it's 85 degrees here.
I mean, yeah.
They're warm, guys. They're very warm. They're cozy.
But it's also like It's also like a good light summer sweater, you know, like end of day. You've been on the lake or at the beach all day. Mm-hmm. It starts to get a little windy in the afternoon, gets a little chilly. You have a chill after being in the sun all day. That sun chill, you know it. You put the sweatshirt on. It's summery. It's cute. And it's perfect light layer for your summer nights that are upcoming. Thank God for that.
Don't even get me started. Literally, don't even get me started. You know me, I'm a summer baby. I just need like all the summer weather and moments and all the things. And I cannot believe it's Memorial Day weekend this weekend. I'm not doing anything for it, but like, it just...
It's Madison Blue's birthday on Saturday. Come on now.
So sorry. I'm the worst.
Yeah, no, that's fine.
Wait, a Saturday birthday? Holy shit. That's the best. That is the
I was born best. On a Saturday. Born on a Saturday.
You were born to party.
Yeah. Totally.
What are you doing for your birthday? Any big things? Any crazy banana plans?
Oh my God. I literally have no plans. And I am trying to plan something. And I just like hate birthdays for this reason.
Yeah, I feel you.
And I'm so late to planning it. Like I would love to like get out of town, little staycation somewhere close by. I called all these hotels. They all have like 2 or 3 day minimum stays since it's a holiday weekend. So I'm like annoyed at that. And they're all booked because I'm late to the game. So I don't know. I might like bring some friends home to my parents and just spend the weekend there, or who knows? We'll figure it out. But honestly, hopefully something wholesome. I'm into these wholesome vibes these days.
Wow.
Yeah.
Honestly,
I don't know. We'll see how it shakes out.
I feel like it's one of those weird things. Like the older you get, the more you just like sort of like don't care about it. Like I used to be like a really big birthday person, and don't get me wrong, like I still like, I love getting like a nice birthday text or like just acknowledgement really more than anything, versus I used to like want like always like the big like party. Like one of my best friends and I have a similar birthday, so we'd like do a combine and whatever. And she's still very into her birthday. Whereas like now it's like sort of to your point of like planning, it's so much work. And then you're worried about so many people being like happy. And then is this person mad? Is this person not really want to do this?
Yeah.
And it becomes so stressful that you're almost like, I'd rather not deal with it than or like, I don't know. At least that's my take on it.
That's how I feel. And I feel like I don't care, but like, I think the inner child in me is like, it's your birthday. Like, get excited. But I'm getting there. I'm going to continue every day to get in the mood, like countdown to the B-day.
Birthday.
28.
Ayo. 28 is a good year. 28 is a good year.
I'm not mad at 28 at all. I'm not. Mm-mm. I feel like 27 is a weird year. It's a weird, like, number. But 28, I feel good about. I feel good about 28.
I feel like someone was telling me that their lucky number was 27 the other day. And I was like, really? Interesting. Niche. Yeah, very niche pick. I was like, hey, to each their own. By all means. But... Huh. Well, birthday celebrations are abound. Regardless, everybody DM Maddie, HBD,
attention.
Say,
that's all
yeah,
really
give her attention. There it is. That is so not true. She's like the least give me attention person I've ever met in my life.
I love attention, but I like don't seek it, or I don't scream and ask for it. You know what I mean? But I do love it. I think we should get into this episode, unless there was anything like... pertinent in the political world to address.
Oh, I have one funny thing. And that funny thing is the fact that Rudy Giuliani is launching a coffee company. It's something like else. I mean, there's malt would be probably a compliment. Like, you could then it would be in the category of like blue cheese, which I don't like, but like that's malt, you know? So there's a complimentary malt category of things you can eat and drink. Actually, I don't know about drink, but you get my point.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, just dirt, but
it's probably just sneaky dirt. And they
you think it's
it
even
coffee? No,
like I,
or it's probably
I
like cocaine dyed brown. You know what I mean?
Stop it.
It's like ketamine.
Oh my God. A fall from grace for America's mayor. Just continually. Mm. There is something so strange about like, I don't know what it is about like New York's mayors, but we just continually have like weird ones. They're all a little odd. They're all a little
quirky. Losers.
They're all just like.
They all suck. But nevertheless, I feel as though we can introduce our guest now. I will also just say one more time, go get your merch. It's in the show notes. And Samantha, please introduce our guest today.
Oh, absolutely. Our guest is Kaylee Peterson, and she is running for Congress in Idaho, which we have talked about just like a little bit, very red state. And I'm sure that is what y'all also hear in the news or see when something pops up. And so we're like, we need to get into this. Like, what is actual lay of the land in terms of Idaho? Why does the state sort of attract some of these like alt-right groups as well? Like, what is like that? We talk a lot about also like local media and like how the lack of local media contributes to these things. And I think that's just like such an interesting puzzle piece that like, holy moly, we could really like get into even further. But nonetheless, Kaylee is amazing and so cool. And such a good example of you can't win if you don't run. So, and you also can't win if there's no infrastructure, and talking about building that infrastructure and like what that actually looks like. And so I just think
shoot or shoot.
Yeah, exactly. Bingo. Say less. So without further ado, here is Kaylee.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Kaylee, we are excited to have you, and you're running for Congress, motherfucking Congress over here. Can you tell us a little bit about your campaign and why you decided to run?
Yeah, I was one of those people who was always really political, even as like a little child. I talk about it on the campaign trail all the time. I started out writing mean letters to the Clinton administration when I was 8 years old about their handling of Kosovo. So I was one of those kids. And I, you know, had been a stay-at-home mom, a working-class mom for quite a while. And then 2016 happened, and I decided to go back to school to get into public policy. And a year in, I was asked by a political faith group I was part of to put my name on the ballot. And after two meetings, they asked me to run a full congressional campaign. And I mean, I liken it to a child who always dreams about being an astronaut. And then their first year of college, they're like, do you want to go to Mars? And that's a little bit what the opportunity felt like for me. And ever since I started, it's just become my absolute passion. So I've been doing it for the last 2 years.
That's so cool.
Seriously, yeah, that you get to
put it into real life action for yourself in your own campaign, which is really, really exciting. Was there like a specific moment that made you think like this seat, this position? I know there's like also there's 100 things you can run for. So what was like really the thing that made you like, I want to run for Congress specifically and in this district for these reasons? Like what was that?
I think it was getting out of my own way. When they first asked me to volunteer to put my name on the ballot, I assumed that I would be a placeholder, that they would only really want me to be like Secretary of State just until they could find somebody better. But when they asked me if I could run any campaign, what would I do? And I said, I would get my opponent, Russ Fulcher, out of office for the U.S. House. That's who I'm running against.
Yeah.
And it was really just kind of overcoming my own limitations, like realizing that there was nobody else who was willing to step up in this race at the federal level in such a red district. There's no real federal support. There's no money. We have really successful Idaho politicians who don't want to leave their seat for what they consider an unwinnable race. And when I looked at this district, while it's a ton of work, it's 500 miles, 19 counties, almost a million people in Idaho's first congressional district. I just saw massive opportunity, a ton of incredible community organizers, rural activists who are all working kind of isolated and on their own, and the ability to use the campaign to connect all of these different amazing people and to create a real strategy for the long term. It just made it an absolute dream come true. And I'm running against a really far right Freedom Caucus, election denying, 100% anti-choice candidate. So it's just kind of a dream come true to be able to fight for something I really believe in such an incredible district.
Totally. Which brings us to our next question, which is the landscape of Idaho, what the political landscape actually looks like. Because obviously, or maybe not obviously, but both Maddie and I are coast dwellers. So we're used to, you know, a little bit more, you know, of blue areas, if you will. But we, you know, and what we hear is that Idaho is redder than like the devil's outfit, essentially. And so I'm curious what that actually looks like in, you know, the day to day, what the, you know, the vibe is, what's the, there's another word I'm looking for here. Culture is not it, but like, what is sort of the prognosis that you feel like of the political landscape there?
It is as red can be. Idaho is such a unique political landscape. One, because my district is so massive that it's almost like four individual states. And so a lot of my areas live entirely different lives, entirely different lifestyles. So each district is very different. But altogether, politically, we have a massive, massive presence with the Freedom Foundation and the Freedom Caucus. And so we have a lot of really far right actors that are really successfully able to spread their message in rural communities where really progressives and progressive organizations have no presence. And it's made even more difficult because of how rural we are. There are, the entirety of North Idaho has no Idaho media. And journalism really struggles here. There isn't a budget for it. Our local papers are really struggling. And so, unfortunately, that void is often filled by far-right actors, militant groups, special interests that are able to spread their message. So when I'm driving up and down the straight, up and down the state, screaming like I'm a Democratic congressional candidate, really what I'm trying to do is prove myself. And that is almost the entirety of my campaign, is building relationships face to face with people who have been taught to hate me and people who have been taught that I'm the enemy. And in a lot of rural communities, they believe that because they don't know anybody who's showed them differently. They really only experience people who live like they do, believe like they do. And the ones who don't, that might be considered progressive or whatever, they know them. And so they're like, ah, well, that doesn't count because that's a friend. So I go in there as this congressional candidate who's a proud Democrat and who's a progressive millennial woman. And I show them I'm also just a working class woman. I'm also living paycheck to paycheck. I'm also really upset at how expensive groceries are. And those are the issues we should be focusing on. But when it comes to political landscape, it is, as I always say, we're trying to compete with Texas and Florida for most conservative radical state. And it's only worsened by we have the presence of white supremacy, Christian nationalism, anti-government militia groups, the Redoubt movement, who have all kind of centered in Idaho to try and create an ethno state. So that on top of our politics makes it a dangerous landscape.
Yeah. And question off the bat from that is like, what has allowed, I know obviously you hinted towards one of the things being lack of media, but what has allowed some of those groups to, you know, move towards Idaho and into Idaho and think, you know, this is a spot that we can really sow our seeds here?
I look at it in a couple ways. One is our government for the last 40 years has kind of left working class people behind. And in rural communities, that is exacerbated because there are no public services. A lot of these places lost their small businesses, giant conglomerates moved in, and then when profits dried up, they left and left towns in shambles. Small family farms are really struggling to make it. So you have these really disenfranchised, frustrated voters, and then you have special interests moving in and out-of-state money being poured into these areas to really radicalize their political beliefs to drive them to the polls. And mm-hmm. right now in places like Idaho, it's really only 5 to 10% of the population that are defining what our government looks like, because only like in the last Republican caucus, only 7% of Republicans showed up to vote for the next president of the United States. And if special interests can get that 7% angry enough to show up to the polls, then they're guaranteed to win. And everybody else thinks we're so red that there's no chance. And yeah. so, yeah, it's basically kind of this perfect place where they've been left behind. There's no other presence. And then also they've been using churches. We have a massive evangelical presence in the state. And if you look at those evangelical churches, a lot of them are working directly with these special interest groups.
Yeah, totally. I know. Wow. It's just like the perfect cocktail of conservatism. And yeah, I can understand how that, I think that's a common theme and story across country in some of these redder areas of like genuine frustration for genuine good reason that then gets kind of blamed on different status threats and things that come down from like the national media that can make them kind of blame things on the wrong folks and ultimately, you know, create those beliefs, which is a frustrating cycle. And I think it is important for like people like you to like go have those conversations and show that there's like, there's different ways to think about this. I'm not the bad guy just because I'm a Democrat. So yeah, that seems like a real battle you have ahead of you, but I think you have the right approach. But I'm also really curious about like your district and maybe even Idaho more broadly, like beyond the politics, can you kind of explain what are your favorite aspects of the area of, you know, were you born and raised in the district?
I have okay. a weird childhood origin story. So I come from 6 generations of Idaho farmers. My family homesteaded the Eagle Foothills where I currently live. I spent my childhood with my time split between Eagle, Idaho and Groton, Connecticut. My dad's family is from Connecticut. And so until the age of 10, I went to school in Connecticut and then spent my off time in Idaho. And then in 6th grade, I moved permanently to Idaho and then spent my off time in Connecticut until I was 15. So technically, I'm a 6th generation Idahoan, but was also born in Connecticut. So it's this weird, yeah. I get questioned about that a lot. But gotcha. There are so many incredible aspects of Idaho. And growing up, being taught about Idaho values, it was all that very independent, live and let live, kind of free spirit, but also this sense that you never met a stranger. You could go to any store, you could walk down any street and make a friend with whoever you pass by. And I think that's what drew a lot of people to Idaho was that friendly neighbor spirit. It's very Midwestern, polite culture that drew a lot of people in because especially on the coast and in a lot of more populated cities, you just don't get that. And there are too many people to do that. And there's too much yeah. going on to make a friend with everybody you meet on the street. And I think that's what really made Idaho very special is it was this absolute gorgeous landscape where you could be downtown and watch an opera or go to the theater. And then 20 minutes away, you could be at Bogus Basin skiing or hiking or mountain biking, or in northern Idaho, you can take your kayak out after work and just paddleboard and read your books down the river. I mean, it's just such a magical yeah. landscape and place with such great people that it makes it really special.
I love that. Wait.
Sign us up. Looks like we're like every time you do one of these interviews.
Well, we are Idaho, Montana neighbors, right? Sorry, I'm really bad with.
Yes. Yes, okay. Montana and Wyoming.
Okay. Well, we just interviewed a candidate running in Montana. And so we were talking about how we want to go visit. So I feel like we can make a pit stop for mm-hmm. sure in Idaho. I've been once for a soccer tournament. I don't know, Sam, have you ever been to Idaho?
I haven't, which is, I guess it's not crazy. I've only really been to the West Coast even a handful of times. So
yeah, true.
But whatever, you know, adding it to the list, which is always important. And other things that we want to like add to the list, obviously, are positive things and positive things that are happening in the state. And I'm curious from your eyes, you know, what is something positive politically that has happened or is happening and that you maybe like to see more of?
Oh, this is such a great story because it happened in my hometown of Eagle. We just recently had a mayoral race last year, and we had the incumbent, Jason Pierce, who was the by far favorite to win. He is backed by all the same special interest groups that my opponent, Russ Fulcher, is backed by, Freedom Foundation. We saw hundreds of thousands of dollars get poured into this tiny little local race. They were using tactics, and he was running against an old school Republican, Brad, who has fire experience, working class Joe, who had $25,000 to run his campaign. And the incumbent was using tactics like to liberals, they would send postcards saying Brad was a MAGA Republican. But to Republicans, they would send postcards saying Brad was a liberal. And just all these kinds of, they were using next door on social media to get messaging out against Brad. I mean, it was a full-on campaign. And Brad won the election with $25,000, with basically a volunteer team, with almost no chance. This insanely red community came out against a well-funded special interest favorite incumbent who had favored developers and corporate interests over the people. And so it's just an example of grassroots organizing at its absolute best, and that there is a chance to defeat these kinds of titans.
Yeah.
It was fantastic.
I love that. That's really cool. And I think that's like such a resonant message, like across the board, of like, that's really such a common thread. We have a bipartisan agreement of like, we're just sick of this corporate greed. And I think it's such a good message to push to people of like, you want someone, regardless, honestly, of their views or where they are on the, you know, party scale, of like, are they representative of you? Are they like you? Or are they tied to some of these bigger powerful actors and corporations? Because at the end of the day, like, I think I would choose someone that maybe doesn't fully agree with me, but I know is like not tied and can understand like my lived experience. So I love that. That's really cool.
Brads. The Brads, the Chads.
I know, I was going to say,
what a moment for the Brads.
The Brads.
I am
you're like the conservative Brad. Yeah. I was like, classic. Classic.
It's Idaho, so it might be a little better than the conservative Jasons that we have seen. I think Jason
Jason.
A little bit more of a connotation.
Oh my
our
gosh.
Our Brads
so
are
funny.
Good old working class dudes who you can trust and who have your back. Our Jasons, we got to be a little more wary of.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. And so you said you're also a mother. How many kids do you have? How old are they?
I have two. So I have a 12-year-old daughter who is hitting teenage years way, way too fast. And then I have a 7-year-old son who is just a hurricane and a mad scientist and is way more like me than I'd like to admit. But it has been fantastic. I think them seeing me come into my own. I really struggled being a stay-at-home mom. I've always been really political. I really missed being out in communities. And to for them to see me in my element and fighting for policies that will benefit them and their futures has been really incredible.
That is awesome. I think it's so funny. Like, we're in this era where obviously, like, people are trying to take our rights away again and all of these things. But at the same time, so many different things. Like, we talk about sports a lot on this show and how that's progressed, whether it be basketball or soccer or whatnot, and the representation, actually getting like a Washington Post notification about a woman's game getting played and like those things. And like the kids these days actually get to see that representation, be like, oh, like I could be a pro basketball player. Oh, I could be a politician. I could go to space, like all of these things. And I feel like we have entered this era where we have that representation, or starting to more so, and are allowing it to like really take course. So I think it's so cool that you're doing what you're doing and doing what you're passionate about, but also like that they get to see that. Like, that's amazing.
Thank you. I talk about this a lot. And, you know, there's something I don't talk about a lot on the campaign, which I think is growing up as a woman in the 90s and the early 2000s. I remember saying things like I was going to be the first woman to play on the New York Yankees, or I was going to be the first female president. And it was a joke. It was actually a joke. It wasn't taken seriously. It was just like, ha ha. And there are so many expectations, I think, on women specifically in that time. I really struggled. I was athletic, but to be too feminine wasn't considered athletic enough. Like, you couldn't be girly and athletic, or you couldn't be girly and academic. I mean, there were so many kind of definitions of who you were. And so then when I went into my 20s, I think trying to figure out what a stay-at-home mom looks like and kind of all these definitions of who you're supposed to be, whether it's as a mom or a woman or an academic or an athlete. And when I started college, I think it was really the Gen Zers who taught me to just be authentically you. And it has been such a blessing on this campaign because I think the American people are ready for politicians who are just genuine, who are authentically themselves. For me, I'm a giant nerd. I'm a history nerd. I'm a total geek. I love Doctor Who. I love Comic-Cons. But it's just all of these different variables that make me who I am are all appreciated for how authentic we are on the campaign trail. And it helps me relate to people and set an example for my children that they should be as authentically them as humanly possible.
I love that. And it's so true. I mean, I was going to ask you too, like, do you have any advice for your 20-year-old self?
I think that's it. I tried so hard to prove my worth by fitting into definitions set by other people. And then I constantly found myself falling short. When I was athletic, I really wanted to be girly. And so I even went by the name KJ instead of Kaylee. And then when I went into debate and I became academic and I went to high school, especially in the early 2000s, I did not fit what was considered culturally appropriate for women to look like at that time. And then when I was a stay-at-home mom in a very evangelical religious area, I also didn't feel like I fit that mold. I really despise cooking. I'm a terrible cook. I make a wicked steak and a great grilled cheese. I'm great at cutting up fruit for my kids, but that's like my limit. And it
makes it impressive to have on your repertoire.
Yeah, I was raised by a Marine. And so I think you have to be able to cook steak. That's like steak and potatoes and you're all set. But talking to my 20-year-old self, I just wish that I could have known I can be all of these things. I can be as girly and blonde haired as I want to be while being academic and playing baseball and being political and being goofy and serious at the same time. All of those things combined make me human. And it really helps me relate to a part of the population. And in Idaho, it's such a different perspective because they've been taught that this progressive movement of Gen Z being authentically them is a threat to the old way of life. And so yeah. I'm consistently telling our farmers, our unions, our working class men and women in rural areas that I want them to be allowed to be as authentically them as possible. And I'll fight to the death to protect that right for them as much as I would Gen Zers in more progressive spaces who don't look like people in my rural communities. And so trying to show the value to both sides is really important.
Yeah, I'm curious, yeah. Like, from that, you know, that conversational lens, like, what do they think their way of life is? Like, if they're, and I know that can be like hard to define, but if they view, you know, this, whether it's progressive movement, Gen Z, even more just like a solid democratic values, like as an attack on that, like, what do they think their standpoint is that's under attack?
It's really fascinating. There are so many signs along the highway that say God, guns, and freedom and liberty. And it is really this kind of homogenous rural America stereotype, but a lot of them go to the same churches. They learn to drive their tractors young. They help their neighbors out when the cattle get out. I mean, it is this very kind of traditional way of life. And unfortunately, what far right groups like the Freedom Foundation are doing is they're targeting these outlier communities that my rural communities have no experience with. Most of the farmers I work with haven't really met a lot of trans people. They don't know a lot of people in the LGBTQIA community. And they demonize these groups, saying that they're trying to attack that traditional way of life. That if it's up to them, they're going to indoctrinate your children and they're going to take over your sports that you love so much. They're coming for your way of life. When the opposite, it can be worse than the truth. The opposite yeah. is the actual truth.
Like, I kind of just want to exist and have you not bother me or know about me. Like, exactly. That's simply all it is. Yeah.
And I grew up surrounded by the LGBTQIA community. And in the 90s and early 2000s, it was quite a different experience. There was almost no one you could meet that hadn't had violence inflicted upon them. There was almost nobody that you could meet that felt safe to come out in high school. And these conversations have changed so much so quickly that unfortunately it's being weaponized against communities that don't have any firsthand experience with that. So I go in and I know I'm in a very friendly package. My college friends used to joke I look like a conservative Eagle mom. Like I look like a homeschooling evangelical mom. And I use that to go into these communities as a friendly face that they can trust and relate to, who's then trying to express the other side and build that relationship in these communities. And that's been really successful so far.
Good. I love that. I'm really excited about you and your campaign, and I'm curious if you can let everyone know where they can follow along with it and follow you and just keep tabs on what's going on over in Idaho.
Absolutely. The good news is there aren't a lot of Kayleys running for Congress. So we have, if you look up Kaylee for Congress, you're guaranteed to find me. It's kayleeforcongress.com. My email is kayleeforcongress@gmail.com. All my social media is Kaylee for Congress. And you can look at all of our upcoming events. We have a really exciting statewide launch that we're doing really in the heart of Idaho in Lewiston at the Clearwater Casino. Free food, free event, live music. We really want to just show people how big our community is and how diverse the group of people supporting this campaign is, and really give people a party to kick off election year. But you can also see all the work that we're doing right now. We have two really important petitions. The Senate and Senator Crapo from Idaho is trying to stall the child tax credit, trying to basically put it out until 2025 when they're hoping Trump is elected and they won't have to give working class families a tax credit. So there's a petition that we're trying to bring that to his front door. And there's also housing crisis, especially in Idaho. And unfortunately, large hedge funds and investment firms right now own 26% of single family homes on the market. That's estimated to be 40% by the year 2030. And those homes will never go back on the market. It's basically fiefdom, specifically in rural areas of Idaho. So we have a petition asking Russ Fulcher to pass legislation that would ban hedge funds' control of single family homes in the U.S. real estate market. So if you go to my site, you can follow along. You can also, there's a big red donate button. I talk a lot about how little money there is in rural Democratic races. We are hoping to break records. We're also hoping to build long-term investment in infrastructure in the state so that no matter what happens in this year on Election Day, in 2 years and 3 years, we will continue to build until the first district has representation they can be proud of. So every dollar that you spend on this race goes right back into Idaho, Idaho organizers, and into long-term success.
Ooh, love I love it. That.
Also, I knew there was always something fishy with the hedge fund guys I've dated. I knew. Just, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Just proving their point.
100%.
Well, thank you so much for coming on the show, and we can't wait to see where your campaign goes.
Thank you so much, ladies. I appreciate the opportunity. I'm all about the girl and the government. So
yes,
a great year for both of those things.
Yes.
Amen.
Thank you.
Hey guys, popping in with a reminder to sign up for the GovHub newsletter. This weekly pop of politics is designed to share action items, resources, and quick links to civic engagement tools and topics directly to your inbox. Save it, share it, and sign up for a pinch of productive politics today by going to girlinthegov.com or visiting this episode's description.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.